Hey everyone, it's Anthony Bandiero here, attorney and senior legal instructor for Blue Gold Law Enforcement Training, bringing you another search and seizure show. This is where I answer your questions live. We have a few hundred officers that are still hanging around after I just did a webinar called Terry Stops and Pat Downs. I'm broadcasting from my hotel room in beautiful West Memphis, Arkansas. Arkansas is beautiful, but I was probably joking on the West Memphis part. This place is, I'm packing some heat this time around, okay? So guys, here's how this works, okay? And there's also a tornado warning for those. But I have my iPad here. I get a lot of questions every single day from officers around the country, which is great. But I also have a captive audience, right? So here's how this works. Captive audience, the people that are here, this is how what I want you to do. Do you have any questions for me? But here's the rules, okay? I want all I have to do is turn on your microphone, okay? But look, you can't turn on your camera. So do Anthony, I'm in my pajamas, or Anthony, I'm in my patrol car. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is consent to actually have your mic turned on, and you can actually answer and ask your questions. I'll answer them, okay? So who do we have? Who wants to ask a question of Anthony, right? Any question, any search and seizure question, any, hey, what do you think? You know, what do you think about this? I had this call last night. This is what we did and so forth. All you got to do is say me. I have a question and let's talk it out, right? This is your fellow officers here. It's awesome. People that have been to this webinar before, the search and seizure show, they love it. So who has a question? And as you're thinking about that, I'm going to start as you're getting ready to ask your question. I'm going to answer a question from the iPad. Now the questions on the iPad, they are from officers around the country. Let's kind of get going on this. Okay. So Rick, kind of remind them to ask questions. Hold on. Okay. I do not know where this cop, is stationed in what state, but here's the question. Okay. Officer unable to determine. So look, we have a traffic stop occupied three times. And, Lauren, do you have a question? Right. Lauren, I think you have a question. Just put in the chat if that's true. Traffic stop occupied three times. Officer unable to determine probable cause to search, but the front passenger returns with a warrant for theft. The passenger is removed from the vehicle and he's arrested for this warrant. His person is searched. And hold on, Chance. I have to do it from my end. So Chance, give me 1 second. Once I'm done with this question, I'll turn on your mic. Okay, good. I'm glad you asked that, because it's you can't just turn on automatically. The passenger is removed from the vehicle and his person is searched instant to arrest. During the search, a syringe and meth pipe filled with residue was located on his person. That he is just a passenger. He's not related to the person driving. It's not his vehicle. Now, the question is, can we search that person? I'm sorry. Can we search the vehicle? Can we search his friend's car for more narcotics? Yes or no? Okay. Here's what we see. We see lunge area. We see recon occupant of vehicle. I say yes. Kathy says no. Colin says yes, but only within the passenger's reach. Yes, Wyoming versus Houghton. Chance says no. Colby says no. Josh says yes. Okay, here's my answer. So first of all, this will not work under lunge area, okay? The problem, no, unfortunately, Cody and that whole wingspan stuff, that will not work. Why not? Because this was all figured out under what Supreme Court case? What Supreme Court case answered that question about whether or not we can search the lunge area as search incident to arrest? Okay, no, not long, it's Gantt. So Tom got it. So here's the deal. Gantt says that we can search the lunge area, basically, incident to the person's arrest from a motor vehicle. If they are arrested, check. Near the vehicle, maybe. Unrestrained, that's the problem right there. Why are we going to keep a person unrestrained, right? They have to have some legitimate access, right? They're not going to have access. No cop is going to let them have access. So that's the problem. Now, the next thing is, do you have probable cause? Wyoming versus Houghton says that if you have probable cause for the vehicle, you can search anywhere in the vehicle where the item could be found, right? Okay, the problem is, do you have probable cause for that vehicle? Let's be honest, guys. We're all friends here. Do you really think just because you arrest a friend from a car that you have probable cause for that vehicle? No. Come on, right? Come on. Okay? I mean, you know, I'm with you. You know, I'm your friend. Cops pull us over. I have a warrant. Unbeknownst to you, I have drugs in my pocket. And now the cops are searching your car. Where is the probable cause as to you? What is the cop going to say in that report as to why he or she believed that they had fair probability of drugs in that car? The answer is they're not going to have it. Okay. So are we close? Yes. Do we need some nexus? Yes. Michigan versus Long does not work. By the way, Cody, that's an excellent idea. He says canine. I think the canine is an excellent idea. I absolutely believe you have reasonable suspicion, but I don't think you have probable cause. Not with these facts. Now, there was a case where the driver was also a drug addict and there were some other things going on. Now, does that help you? When birds of a feather smoke crack together, do you think that helps you? Yes. Okay. Now we have a nexus. Now we have some nexus. It doesn't take much, but I'm just saying, you know, I like to use the Uber example. Am I a pastor? If I'm in Uber, I'm a pastor, and somehow the cop, you know, identifies me lawfully and he arrests me, are you going to search the Uber's car? The answer is probably not, right? Also, Michigan versus Long does not work because Michigan versus Long is a protective sweep case, and you have to have a person that's unarrested. John, do you want to get on the horn and talk about this? I would love to talk to you about this if you want to talk to on the microphone. Okay. All right. Who's up, Rick? Remind me. I'm sorry. I should remember this, but who is it? Chance? No, it's Chance. It's Chance. Okay. What's up, Chance?
Hello.
Hey, so, buddy. What state are you in?
Texas.
Freaking love Texas.
However, I'm a federal agent.
Nice. Okay. So look, we're going to be talking about federal law here?
Correct. Well, we have concurrent, so we can do either or, state or okay. Federal.
Mm-hmm.
But very long story short, literally last week, so I work for the National Park Service. We're inside of a national park. And we're in a parking area. It's in within our boundaries. We're good to go as far as jurisdiction goes. I roll up, I see a guy out by the picnic table. He's probably about 15 feet away from his motor vehicle, which is, it's basically blocking a gate, which is against one of our regulations.
Yep.
So get out of the car. It's like, hey man, can you move your vehicle into the parking spot? And he's like, yeah, no problem. So cool. Walked away from him, dealt with another issue from another person. And as I'm speaking with that person, I turn back around. I see that he's now sitting inside of his truck with the driver's side door open. He's got the vehicle started and he's sitting there, but he's not moving the vehicle. So I decide I'm going to make some contact with him. I walk up there to make contact with him. As I walk up and I get within about 3 feet of the vehicle, the very strong odor of marijuana is emanating from the vehicle. Asked for his ID. He can't find it. He's digging around everywhere. I was like, hey man, just step out. As I told him to step out, he grabs his identification, hands me the ID. And he said, well, I was going to move my truck. And I said, no, I understand that, but now I smell the odor of marijuana. I said, so go ahead and just kill the engine and step out. And he killed the engine, stepped out. I said, is there marijuana in the vehicle? He said, yes, sir. There's marijuana in the vehicle. I said, okay, where is it? He said, middle of the console. I said, okay, go ahead and retrieve that for me. He retrieved it. So at that point, I had the ID in my hand and I had about a gram of marijuana in my hand. Walked to the, and I said, hey, let's go to the front of your vehicle. So I moved to the front of his vehicle just to get him away from the cab. And I said, you know, sit right here. I'm going to go put this in my truck. I said, I will be conducting a PC search of your vehicle. He said, okay. Walk back, put the marijuana, secure the marijuana. And I come back up to him and I said, hey, I need to pat you down. Make sure you don't have any weapons. I said, do you have any weapons? And he said, yes, sir. And I said, okay. I said, where are they? And he said, and he hesitated a little bit. And then he said, well, it's inside of my truck. And I said, is it a firearm? He said, no. I said, is it a knife? And he said, yes, I have a knife, I believe, And yeah, I think that's it. And I said, okay, well, I'm just gonna pat you down for weapons. He said, and so he turned around. I patted him down, conducted the PC search and whatnot. From the rest of that point on, I didn't find anything, any other contraband in his vehicle and whatnot. I get called to my chief's office and he's like, you did an illegal pat down. I said, well, I don't believe I did an illegal pat down. He said, well, what were the elements? I said, well, I had probable cause that a crime was occurring, and which he did actually get cited for that. And I said, he admitted to having weapons. And he said, yeah, but he was inside, it was inside the truck. I said, that's fair. I said, but the driver's side door he left open to his truck and he knew where that knife was. I didn't. And so that was kind of our debate. Now, I didn't get any trouble for it, but still talking to. And I was like, well, okay. Because he believes that it would be very, very, very questionable if that pat down was legit or not.
Now, first of all, I'm inclined naturally, just from a selfish point of view, to take your chief's position. And the reason I say this is because according to the Doge, you guys spent $1 billion on a survey monkey. And with that kind of money, I'm trying to get in there myself. I mean, if they're
Yeah,
giving
no, I hear you there. Trust me.
you're giving $1 million for survey monkey, what can I get out of it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Trust me, they need to give us pay raises first. I mean,
So look, besides my $5 billion contract for teaching search and seizure that I'm trying to pitch these guys to
Now,
MPS.
let me give you a little bit of context. I
Ahead.
park ranger. I am a minimum of 45 minutes away from any sort of backup.
Correct.
And in that particular location that I was at, I had no radio communications. I tried. I had
Nice.
no
Does
radio
help.
communications at all. And I already knew, due to the odor of marijuana, I was going to be conducting that vehicle search by myself in the woods
Correct. And
with
now,
no
was he in
vehicle.
handcuffs too? Probably, right?
Negative. He was
Okay, good.
not
Even
in
better.
handcuffs.
All right, look, I got to tell you, look, chief out there, if your chief sees this, we're all friends here. We're just trying to learn, right? This is the debate. But I like to do what's the law? Then let's apply the facts to the law, right?
Okay.
The law is, according to Terry versus Ohio, is that, the person is armed and dangerous. Now, armed and dangerous can confuse a little cops because sometimes they're like, well, I don't know if, in your case, the guy is armed to some degree, right? But a lot of cops are like, well, I don't know if he's armed, but he could be dangerous, right? So the point is do you think if there's a moderate chance? I mean, that's what reasonable suspicion is. It's just a very low quantum of evidence, right? Is there a moderate chance that you are in danger while doing your business out there? And the answer is yes. Okay, it's not that high. The fact that you're doing a probable cause search, for something that's going to be a cite and release. Of course, I get that. Like, I mean, we're not gonna pat down the litterer, right? The guy flicking a cigarette out of his car. I understand, right? But you do have some other factors. Let's look at this. And you actually named a few. You stole my thunder, which is nice because you're thinking like this. Number one is he already have a weapon? I mean, I'm not saying that all people that have weapons are not automatically dangerous. If that was the case, then every wildlife officer, the thin green line, is going to believe that everybody they contact is a dangerous person. That's necessarily true. Let's keep going. He already has a weapon. He's also a drug user. I'm not saying that marijuana is the same thing as meth, but at the end of the day, I'm going to add it to my list. Okay, he's still, people that are either under the influence of alcohol and/or drugs, including marijuana, have a rational thought. Okay, they do things which is not sensible, like attack police officers. Number three, did he actually listen to you? No. Why
No.
is he when he why wasn't he just moving that car? What is his issue? I'm just telling you, these are totality of circumstances. I know we can take one little fact as Anthony. You're saying that they don't move the car fast enough, you're gonna pat him down. I didn't say that. I'm looking at the T to the O to the C. Yes, totality of circumstances. Number four is that you are alone. The radio doesn't work. You're 45 minutes away. He wasn't even in handcuffs while you're searching the car. But even if he was, it wouldn't be a deal killer. Could he slip cuffs? Yes, our cuffs, Michigan versus Long, they say that cuffs are not foolproof. I mean, not ironclad. They can be defective. People can get their hands out. Also, he's going to return to the car, and so. But I know you're patting him down, not the car. But the point is that is there a re is do you have a moderate chance that you could be in some danger while you conduct your business, while you do that motor vehicle search? Absolutely. But the other thing too, Chance, pat downs are not just for their safety. For your safety, it's for theirs. Because if you disarm them, they have more chances of surviving the encounter. They don't get stupid and have, think that they're going to try to get out of this mess and so forth. You don't, I mean, yeah, it's marijuana. And he says he has a couple grams. Somebody called it, kind of like decoy weed, right?
Yeah,
But
right.
at the end of the day, you're allowed to be safe. It's not a very high standard. It's just a moderate chance that he could be a danger to you. I do teach in my class, Chance, in my traffic stops class, that my officers in rural areas do get a little bit more latitude here than my officers in urban areas like LAPD and Dallas, where they have backup a stone's throw away. So,
Right. Good. Yeah, that's good to know. Because
yeah.
we definitely work without backup 99% of the time.
Yeah, John says, was he intending to make a custodial arrest? No, he wasn't, because this is going to be a cite and release, John. So the guy, if all thing works out, he's going to find the marijuana. If that's all he finds, he's just going to let the guy go. So,
Correct.
but no, I really, Chief, if you're listening to this, your officers sound like they, I know. Look, I respect the debates. That's why we're here. If it was black and white, I would be out of a job.
Yeah, and 100%, and I don't want to. I'm not trying to bag on my chief at
No,
all.
you're
He
not. You're not. But you're
was
looking for
good at the end
feedback.
of the day, and we met with mutual terms. Basically, his resolution was, hey, you know what? From now on, just kind of maybe ask him first. Even if you do have the capability of demanding. And I said, okay, I can deal with that. That's fine.
Look,
But
actually, I'll tell you that, Chance. I do teach that too. I always teach that. Hey, look, it's a blessing and a curse. Before Mike, I'm going to ask to turn your mic on in a second to ask your question. But I will tell you, Chance, there is a problem with that. Here's the problem. If you're in your head are gonna be like, hey, if he denies consent, I'm gonna pat him down anyway, then I gotta tell you, a defense attorney is going to attack that, because they're gonna say, Officer Whittington, right? You believe
yes.
that you believe that my client was armed and dangerous even before you asked him for his consent?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just so I get this straight, you're telling me that you think my client is so big and bad and dangerous and your danger, your safety is at issue. Why are you asking my client to be safe then? Why are you asking his permission to be safe? If you thought you had it, why are you asking his permission? Why don't you just do it? Why don't you just do the pat down? The reason you didn't ask, officer, is because you don't believe it. Because you're just hoping he gives you consent so you don't have to justify it, because you don't even believe your own articulation. Isn't that correct? You get my point.
No, yeah, I do.
I will tell you that my urban prosecutors, they have dealt with this whole consent with pat down issue for many, many years. They get through it, but they are telling me that more and more defense attorneys are attacking the cops on this issue about why are you asking my defense to be safe if you really believed it. I get it. I get it.
No, I appreciate your input on it, and it's well considered and. I appreciate it. And like I said, at the end of the day, I'm not in trouble and we're all good,
That's good.
but I
It's good
just wanted to
dialogue.
make sure I could reach out to someone else's opinion about it.
Okay, but I just last the most important thing is that I'm a GSA approved contractor. Let's get to work, okay? Let's get
Let's
the
do
Hey,
it.
all I gotta say is the Forest Service has hired me. So why are you slacking? Okay?
Right.
You got training at bluetogold.com. Let's get this thing started.
Fair. Fair.
Right, see you, Chance.
Thank you.
All right, no problem. Okay, Michael. Which Michael is this? A lot of Michaels here today. Common name. Where is Michael? Oh, because you put your hand up? Where's Michael? Oh, there. Yeah. And now, Lauren, do you have a question too? Just say yes and no. Hey, Mike, what state are you in?
New York State.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Whatever
I
your
feel that.
question is, I'm gonna tell you no, you cannot do it. But let's at least go through it.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. Go ahead.
So this is related to DWI investigations and Miranda. So some facts behind this one: unknown crash into a tree, responding officers get there, vehicles on fire, the driver and passenger out of the car. Speaking with both of them, I finally get admissions from the driver that she was, in fact, driving, odor of alcohol, vehicles on fire, and all that. She gets transported to a more intensive care hospital 45 minutes away. Me and my partner end up getting there about an hour later. So, on the way to the hospital, speaking with an investigator, I'm thinking, hey, do I have to read Miranda first? Due to the natures of the question I'm going to ask. and her being under arrest-like conditions almost because she is bound to a hospital bed. And
Okay.
he argued, no, you would treat it like a roadside interview. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, look, so Miranda is required. Let's do some foundations and apply the facts of the case, okay? Miranda is required when three conditions are met at the exact same time, right? I call this the trifecta.
Okay.
Number one is arrest-like custody. Number two is interrogation. Are you asking questions that are, reasonably foreseeable that they're going to elicit an incriminating response, right? That foreseeably would cause them to say something that can incriminate them. And number three, are you a known officer, right? Miranda does not apply to undercover officers. It does not apply to CIs. It does not apply to the jail context when they're in jail talking to an undercover agent. Okay, that's Illinois versus Perkins. Let's go. Really, what this is all about is probably number one, because you are a known officer. Clearly, you have a uniform on, and you are asking them questions that potentially can incriminate themselves. The first question is really at stake here. Arrest-like custody. Are they under arrest? Like, did you tell them they're under arrest?
Nope.
Do they know they're going to jail at this point necessarily?
No, but during the interview, just to cut to the end, we didn't end up reading Miranda first, and at probably 5 minutes in, she asked if she was going to jail, and I said no,
You said
because
no.
at that point she wasn't under arrest.
That's what I'm talking about. Good. But that's Behealer. Behealer is this Supreme Court case that talks about when you tell people they're not under arrest, it actually is a very good way to keep them out of custody, right? I mean, custody is really it's an impression, right? I mean, it's arrest-like custody. Like, is my surrounding circumstances similar to how a person would feel under arrest? Does that make sense? Now,
Yep.
you said they're confined to a hospital bed. Who can you didn't confine them to a hospital bed. Are they confined to a hospital because of their own injuries?
Yeah, due to her broken arm and potential head
Yeah.
injury.
I mean, you didn't put handcuffs on them, did you?
Nope.
Okay, just because they can't get out of the bed and jump off is because they're connected to an IV or whatever, that's not your problem.
Okay.
All right, look, at the end of the day, this is not arrest-like custody. Okay. I have a 8 hour class on interview and interrogation law. So you can imagine I go into all these scenarios. Okay. There are plenty of cases talking about hospital interviews. I'm not going to tell you that there's not a best practice here, or if you have a debatable case, read Miranda. I'm not, what is what it is, right? But at the end of the day, simply having a conversation, a roadside interview, like your sergeant kind of said, right? Having a roadside interview with a person who's confined to a hospital bed on their own doing, right? Meaning that's what happened because of their accident. You had nothing, you did not control their status of being in bound to a bed, and just asking them questions and not making them, not telling them they're under arrest and not badgering them and just trying to get the facts of what happened in the case. That is not in custody under Miranda.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep. Also, do you mind if I tell you two more things?
Sure.
Just because we're having a conversation, maybe people find this interesting. A lot of times, look, I will tell you that the first thing is if you're like talking to this person, you're like, yeah, this person is really cooperative. They really want to tell their side of the story. Yeah, sure. If you read Miranda, it's probably, it's helpful, right? Get that waiver and then you don't even have this issue. But if you're thinking to yourself, look, I don't think they're in custody. And they're probably, if I read Miranda, they're probably invoke. Here's my advice. Push forward because there is no Miranda violation at all unless something happens first. As far as like, even if they were in custody and like looking back at it, nothing bad happens unless one thing happens first. The prosecutor uses those comments in their case in chief. So a lot of cops just don't know, like these are debatable calls and like, hey, I probably don't want to read Miranda because I at least want to get something out of him. That's what I say you should do because then you basically get that confession and then you can use it for impeachment. Or let's say I ran from a traffic stop from you, right, Mike? And you think I ditched a gun because I have a holster, there's a holster in my personal property. Like, hey man, Anthony, did you have a gun on you? Yeah, man. I got scared, man. I ditched it. Now, where'd you ditch it up? In the bushes, by Fifth Street. And then you go find that gun. Do you know you don't lose that gun? Even if the court found that you should have read Miranda, you don't lose the gun. So the thing is, I guess my point is, I'm not looking to like to finagle the rules. What I'm looking to is that in debatable cases like this, when it comes to Miranda, just get the confession. Get the testimony where the evidence is, and you don't lose that. And then you don't have any violation unless the prosecutor uses it in case in chief, but they can still use it for impeachment. So it's a kind of a win-win, quite frankly. All right.
Cool. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Welcome, G. Okay. Who's next? Colby, is there any way that I can try to use your mic? Is there any way we can at least try? Because it really is going to be hard to answer that question like that. And I just have all these questions here. Can we try to see if your computer has a mic? All right. Let's try it. Let's try it. All right. Let's see if it works. You there? Okay. All right. What about my phone? Can you just call me on my phone? Just call me on my phone, and then I'll put you on speaker. It's very hard to do this without talking. All right, you calling? You out of minutes? I don't see you calling. What's the deal here? I think you're out of minutes. Maybe I'm out of minutes. No, that's the number. Call it again. 702-499. No way. But hang up and call again. There's no way. This number is, this thing is not ringing. Oh, hold on. Shit. Maybe we have a problem. Call again. Maybe I messed up. Call again. Some monkey business around here. There we go. All right.
Hello.
Hey, and then mute your computer. Are you or turn down your sounds because it's going to be feedback.
Okay, 1 second. Okay.
All right. Hey, Rick, can you hear Colby? Okay. All right. Let's rock. Okay. What do you got?
Okay. So I'm driving down on the road. I see a vehicle in front of me. It doesn't have a license plate on the back of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So I conduct a traffic stop on the vehicle for no registration.
Mm-hmm.
I approach the vehicle, speak with the driver, inform them the reason why I stopped them. And they tell me, oh, I have a temporary moving permit. So in Nevada, we have these annoying.
I know in Nevada. I know in Nevada. I'll explain. Yeah, yeah. The postcard thing on the front window, right? Yeah.
It's on the window. They pull it off, show it to me. Appears to be valid. I check the VIN with the permit. Appears everything's good to go. No other traffic violation was observed. At that point, did I have the ability to then request the driver for their driver's license and insurance?
Okay. So let me give you some context. I didn't mean to cut you off because I was a trooper in Nevada. I don't know if you knew that, but I know all about this. I also teach for, you know, Las Vegas Metro. So I know all about these temp tags. I have videos on it, and it's I can tell you it is the debate of the century in Nevada. Okay. Temp tags is the debate of the century, but look, let me just try to tell you what I think is going on here in order to make a case law. Now, for those who are watching this, and you're not going to have any context because most civilized states do not put temp tags on the front windshield. They put them on the back plate, right? Or in the back window. But because Nevada is hokey with their tags, they refuse to get with the times and make it easier for cops and this and the public to. Okay, so now that's the first thing. So the first thing is. You know, I do not, and I just want to throw this out there because I think a lot of your friends in the Washoe County area are going to watch this. They're going to say, hey, the first thing is, can we even stop somebody with that tag? Let's say it's daytime, there's no tint, and we see this piece of paper the size of 1/4 piece of a paper. Can we even stop that vehicle just to verify it is valid? Colby, what is your answer?
I'd say no.
Correct. Because you cannot, that's not reasonable suspicion, right? Okay. The next thing is, most of the time, you're not going to see it because you work nights, they have tints, you just don't see it because of their seat is blocking it, whatever. So far, so good. Now, it gets a little tough, okay? If the officer goes up there and sees this tag and at that point testifies in court that, Your Honor, based on what I saw there, it all looks legit. There's nothing odd about the car. There's nothing odd about the way the driver is acting. It looks like it's real. I went over to the VIN, and the VIN matches the last four digits of the VIN. I got to tell you, I mean, the best argument is State versus Torres, Nevada Supreme Court, 2016, approximately, right? Maybe a little bit before or after. But, and what they said is that if your reasonable suspicion is dispelled, you can't continue seizing the person just to verify that their license is correct or their ID is correct when you don't have reason. This is on a pedestrian stop, but for a curfew in Elko, but you just can't continue detaining people without reasonable suspicion, without reason to believe that they're violating the law. So if my officer is in court and I ask that officer on the stand, hey, I'm defense attorney, hey, do you have any reason to believe that there is, after looking at that tag, there's any reason that the violation is continuing, that there's anything going on? And like, nope, I just want to make sure. You see the problem there? That's not reasonable suspicion. Now, how do we get around this? Okay. Number one is there's no obligation to make a driver to make a passenger side approach. Okay. If you can make a driver side approach, make the driver side approach. Just so you can actually contact the driver, you know, and have a conversation. Number two, there's no obligation that the first thing you have to do is actually even look at that tag. I personally wouldn't, okay? Because it's a safety issue. I think you would agree with that. You don't know what this person's up to. I mean, you know, I want to know what their hands are. I want to know what their attitude is and so forth, right? I want to let them know if they stop. Number three, ask them for their credentials. Their insurance, at this point, you probably still have reasonable suspicion. I mean, if you see the tag, but, you know, ask for their insurance, ask for their license. But I got to tell you, here is really, I think, why you're calling. And this happened in Vegas, by the way. This guy was stopped for a tag. He had a tag. It was valid. The cop didn't know it at the time. And the cop asked him for, hey, before I look at that tag, can I see your license? Right. And the guy said this to the cop. He said, sir, and he was like a 10 and 2 guy, you know, he says, sir, I have a tag and it's valid. And if that's the only reason why you pulled me over, this is what I want you to do. This is what he said to this cop. He's very smart, by the way. He said, I want you to go look at it and verify it's correct. And if it's correct, I want you to let me go. You see what's going on there?
That's a smart dude.
It's a smart dude, man. He apparently knows his law. He might have attended this training. Maybe he was off duty cop. But the cop came to me, he says, you know, at that point, I didn't push it. I just decided to go verify the tag. He says, I also ran the VIN. I said, fine, you know, whatever, right? And I let the guy go. And I said, good move. It's not worth it, okay? It's not worth going to Nevada Supreme Court on that issue. What's worth it is the guy that's acting shady. He's acting abnormally nervous. His car doesn't seem, he doesn't, you know, maybe ask him why he has a temp tag and he doesn't give an answer about repairs or something like that. And then that's the guy you probably want to push it on, but not the guy who's 10 and 2, no sir, yes sir, no ma'am, yes ma'am, and just says, take a look at the tag, verify it's correct, and let me go.
Okay.
So look, I don't have a clear-cut answer on this because Nevada has chosen to, you know, to do their tags in a hokey way, but I just think you should use very good judgment in these cases. And I don't have a problem running the tag, by the way. I really don't. I don't think the court will either running the VIN and just coming, making sure the VIN matches the tag. But after that, I would just let the guy go. Now, the one last thing, Colby, if I can throw this out, you guys know that in NRS, you have a law that says that drivers must surrender upon demand their driver's license. And officers will bring that up and say, well, Anthony, it says it there, right? The problem there is when that law was written in 1966, right? Whatever it was, 1968, was that really written for temp tags? Or was it really written for traffic violations, right? And so that's the intent of the law. It's the intent of the law is to make sure that they give you what you need to issue a citation. Under reasonable suspicion, now we do have, you know, HIBOL, we do have 1711.123 that says you must, you know, identify yourself. The problem is there, you ready for this one? When cops say, well, 171.123 says that they must, you know, identify themselves during reasonable suspicion stops. Anthony, you said this is a reasonable suspicion stop. I said, you're absolutely correct, but there's one problem. The stop and identify statute in Nevada is also intended to complement your investigation, right? To complement your domestic violence investigation, to complement your car prowlers. In other words, if that ID, getting that ID is not going to move your investigation forward, then why would you arrest them? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't identify people as a procedural matter. We identify them because it helps our investigation, which is what happened in Hypel, which is, of course, it would help us in a domestic investigation. Who is this person? They have prior history for domestics and so forth. Most of the time, Colby, I'm hoping I'm not, you know, berating this issue too much for you, but I think it's interesting. But most of the time, running their ID is going to help you figure out whether or not they committed a crime.
Yeah.
But here, it doesn't really help. Because a history of registration thefts is not, well, maybe it does, but it's probably not going to help you. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what I believe.
Okay. Just a tidbit of other information. So I did reach out to my city attorney who made the argument that it was very unclear because he gave us two different answers. But one of the answers was that if the tag is good, that we still should request the driver's license. And the only way to determine if that DL is valid, because they are driving on a public roadway, is to then go run the driver's license.
Correct. Now, actually, I want to tell you that I have a case on that. It's not out of Nevada. It's out of the state of Illinois, where it was a registration violation. You know, they thought that the person maybe had unregistered vehicle. They stopped it. The person was valid. The cop asked for ID. And the guy says, I don't have a license. The driver said, hey, you can't even ask me for my ID. The court rightly said that's not the law. You can certainly ask for ID right during a traffic stop, right? The problem that I have, though, and maybe your city attorney would agree with this, is push comes to shove. If you have nothing, if the guy is doing what the guy did in Vegas is like, hey, just run it and leave me alone. If he's doing that, I don't see how you can push it.
Okay.
You know, why would you take that guy to, why would you take him to jail over that? It doesn't seem reasonable. Like, it doesn't do anything, in my view, but it's debatable. But at the same time, we want to make good case law. I just wouldn't take that guy to jail, but I would take a guy that has something going on. It makes sense. I mean, something more than just leave me alone. I want to just keep driving. You know what I mean? Because can I just tell you, because the other thing I have with this, and again, I've been talking about this issue for years. Okay. I mean, Metro is my biggest client. I'm down there, you know, 2 weeks a month teaching these guys, and it comes up all the time. And I'm like, you know, think about this, okay? You know, oh yeah, we can demand ID and we can, you know, stop them to make sure their tag is, I'm like, okay, check this out. You walk into the DMV in Nevada and there's a big sign that says, welcome to the Nevada DMV, which you probably wouldn't say welcome because they don't like anybody there, but come on in and, you know, come get treated like, you know, like crap. It says, by the way, the sign says this. It says, if you are requesting, if you get a temporary tag from Nevada, please note that police can stop you at any time and demand your license, run you and so forth. Would that be reasonable, you know, if that's what the rules are? And the answer is no, because they didn't do anything wrong. All they want is a temp tag, and Nevada has chosen to be podunk and put the thing on the front window and not the back, like every other state and so forth. And that's the problem with the DMV in Nevada. They just have not gone with the times. And that's why I'm careful on putting the onus and the penalty on the driver for just doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? It's just not really.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So anyway, you're awesome. Thanks for calling in. I think that really helps. And all right. Anything else?
Nope. That is all. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Look, that's what I got for you. I'm glad you guys came around and Colby, I will tell again, I mean, people are going to watch this. I am not positive I got that right. I'm not. But I think I'm on to something here. I just want to make good case law, and I don't want to go to the mat on something that's so, you know, kind of weak as these temp tags in Nevada. I want something to mean something. Guys, thank you, Kyle, so much. Danny, you're awesome. I appreciate you. I'm going to let you go. It's 9 o'clock my time. I'm probably going to go outside and see if I can get blown away. I'll see you guys next week. Oh, look, actually, we're doing another Search and Seizure show tomorrow. Rick, can you please actually hold on? You guys are not free to leave. You will be detained. Rick, where's that link? You will be detained. Kyle, you're not free to leave. Okay. Unless you click on this. No, Tom, you are staying too. Where's that link, Rick? I'm actually coming back tomorrow. I'm coming back tomorrow because I have too many questions. Okay. Hold on. Look at all these damn questions, okay? I have too many questions. Okay, so do me a favor, please. I'm begging you. Not begging you. That's the wrong word. I'm asking you respectfully to sign for tomorrow. Probably won't have a big crew like this because it was last minute. I just put on the books on Monday or Tuesday. But hopefully I'll see you, my friends, tomorrow. Thanks, Colby. Okay, my friends. All right. See you. Oh, Chris, no guns because I'm actually – look – I don't pack heat when I'm on the road because just the hassle of Delta, actually. Delta's the problem, not TSA. But because they really make it hard for me to like check in the gun and everything. But if there was any place I do need a firearm, it is now. It is in West Memphis, Arkansas. Rick. Yeah, look, I'll just probably go out there and just find a high point somewhere. Hey, Rick, can you put the link again so these guys can get it and Chris can sign up and Brian can sign up? All right. I'm gonna leave the link available for you guys. You too, brother. All right, guys. Rick, do me a favor. Keep putting that link out to make people click on it. Okay.